The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, does God care about animals as much as he cares about people? Well, my friend, God does care about animals, but no, frankly, they are not as important to him as people. For myself, I love animals. We have both a cat and a dog at home, and just recently, at the Del Mar Fair, my wife and I visited many of the farming exhibits, seeing all kinds of cute animals. Even the cows were cute. Let me say that again. The cows were cute, although not so cute that they weren't making me hungry for a nice thick steak. Welcome to our program, the theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. These past few weeks were taken up with an in-depth Bible discussion, so it has actually been a while since I've discussed the news. A lot has been going on, most notably the Iran situation and President Trump's decision to call off a military retaliatory strike upon hearing that it would cost human lives. Okay, look, to be honest, I lean toward wishing he'd just gone through with it anyway. Otherwise, we may lose a whole lot more lives in the future. Iran is our enemy. I don't know what part of that Washington doesn't understand. Trump understands it, but most of Washington over the years has not understood it. There's no other way to put it. They're a major sponsor of terrorism. And in the Middle East, anything that can be interpreted as weakness emboldens evil. On the other hand, I will still give Trump credit because being unpredictable also keeps enemies on their toes. Besides, at least he didn't negotiate billions of dollars as a bribe to not build nuclear bombs at the same time Iranian citizens were chanting, "Death to America and death to Israel." That was the work of President Obama and former Secretary of State John Kerry, the same John Kerry who in the present visits with Iranian officials, slamming our current administration, encouraging them to hold on for the day when brilliant peace initiatives such as his will be put in place once again. And just in case you find fault with John Kerry and want to point that out, be careful. He could remind you for the 24,000th time that he served in Vietnam. I served in Vietnam. Back to President Trump's decision. Thoughtful people can disagree on this, but thought is the last thing we will ever expect to see from Democrats in the mainstream media. Prior to Trump's decision in the days leading up to, he was a warmonger whose bravado was going to get us into World War III. A man who knows nothing about diplomacy, nothing about self-restraint. So what happens when he shows diplomacy and self-restraint? And the man is wishy-washy. He can't make up his mind. What a coward. Coward. Coward, like when he bombed Syria instead of drawing a red line and then doing nothing when Syria crossed the red line. Coward, like when he threatened Mexico with tariffs if they didn't step up and help control the border. Speaking of tariffs, have you noticed that Democrats have just had a revelation? Apparently, tax hikes are a bad thing now after all. What accounts for this strange about-face? It's quite simple, actually. The latest Trump threat aimed at Mexico in the form of a 5% tariff, and that was just for starters. Now, granted, Democrat politicians already love open borders as it translates into votes in their minds. Be that as it may, they would oppose a Trump policy if he came down against a revived Hittite empire. Just so long as Trump is stopped from doing whatever he might do, whatever it happens to be. After all, isn't that what it's really all about? Maybe Trump should embrace socialism and the Green New Deal. That might just bury both issues for Democrats in one fell swoop. Although it's difficult for issues to get buried when they're emboldened by the Pope. Recently, the Pope compared Trump's border wall to the Berlin Wall. Question for the Pope. If a wall across the border of America is likened to the Berlin Wall, what exactly is a wall around the Vatican likened to? Now, even though I am not Catholic, I do understand that papal infallibility is only claimed once in a while regarding certain doctrines. Still, while that platform of the Pope was nothing but commentary, one would hope that a man as educated as the Pope understands the difference between a wall built to keep people in and a wall built to keep people out. Even Disneyland has borders. Even Disneyland makes you go through security before entering. Speaking of Disney, Disney Studios is seriously considering jumping on the boycott bandwagon by discontinuing film production in Georgia as protest to their bill banning abortion from the time of a heartbeat. Oh, how courageous of Disney to take this stand for women's rights. Yes, sir. Walt himself would be so proud if he was still alive. Of course, there's a Disney theme park in China. China, a country that recognizes zero rights, where citizens are put to death for criticizing the government. Not to mention an even greater irony of ironies. In China, there is a limit as to how many babies per family are allowed. So much for it being her body and her choice. I guess when abortion is illegal, freedom of choice is a hailed protest talking point. But when a woman is told by a government that she is not allowed to have children, choice advocates don't seem to say a whole lot. And of course, there is an even greater question. How much choice does the baby get? Disney, in the year of Dumbo's remake, you may want to pay attention to that other big elephant in the room. But no Disney animated character is more beloved than Joe Biden. Say what you want about him. The man makes a great cartoon. Recent reports talk about Joe Biden's low turnout for his Iowa rally compared to the thousands upon thousands who attend Trump rallies. Now, such outlandish reports have been unfairly and severely distorted. It is not true that Joe only had 200 people at one of his Iowa rallies. So let's set the record straight. He had 250. Speaking of Joe, here's a helpful guide to navigate better through his thoughtful, insightful speeches. How to anticipate when Joe Biden is about to make his latest gaffe. Wait for him to start talking and then count about 30 seconds. Now, I should say, sometimes Joe has a better day. In that case, wait 40 seconds. And now let me introduce another man who never, ever makes gaffes, except for all those times when he does. Say hello to National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg.
Well, Dennis, it's great to be on your show. Oh, excuse me, Bob. Excuse me. Okay. Thanks, Bob, for having me on.
Hey, if you were confusing me with Dennis Prager, I could only be honored.
Well, you know.
Well, maybe you were confusing me with Dennis the Menace or Dennis Kucinich. There are other Dennises out there.
So, yeah, it's the whole Disney thing is just really, it's very sad. The Disney magic. Kids, their whole
target
persona
kids.
Has been kids for
what
decades.
What does abortion do? It murders
so
kids.
The Disney magic, abortion on demand through all 9 months. It's just really unbelievable.
Yeah, and Walt's got to be turning in his grave.
Yeah, I just don't believe that's something that Walt Disney would have embraced. It's just so sad. And being somebody who, you know, like I'm not as big a fan as Disney World or Disneyland as you are, but, you know, there have been a lot of good Disney films over the years, but my wife has decided that she's not going to see a couple of them based upon this because, you know, hey, you can't boycott everything, but this really blatant effort to pummel states into submission, I think that's something that needs to be paid attention to.
And I hope Georgia stands its ground.
Yeah, so do I. So there is a lot of stuff in the news, and it's never been a slow news day since Trump started running for office. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about, were President Trump, you know, officially kicked out his campaign office campaign last week,
Tuesday. Re-election campaign. 20,000 people in the stadium, 100,000 that wanted to be there.
Over 20,000, actually.
But Mike, Joe did have 250, and we need to be fair to point that out.
And the other thing is, within 24 hours after there was kickoff, he raised about $25 million.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. So we're looking at now the 2020 campaign, and we had the 2016 campaign. And I wanted to talk, you know, there's a lot, you can talk about a lot of negative things going on right now, but I wanted to have a little, start off a little positively, why President Trump is better positioned now to get reelected than he was in 2020. There's a lot of good reasons.
I should just say, if it's a legal election, I have no doubt that he'll win by a landslide. I just don't know anymore, and I don't think anybody knows anymore, how many illegal people in our country are voting, because states won't do anything about that. And when they try to, judges overturn them. So that concerns me. But pending that, I am very optimistic that Trump will get reelected.
So 2016 was an incredibly close race. Now, our president doesn't like to acknowledge that. He likes to talk about the final electoral vote counts, which was a nice victory, a very solid victory. Nothing like Reagan had in 1980 or 1984, but still very solid. But if you take a look at the three states, we're going to talk about Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Those states collectively were decided by about 77,000 votes. In other words, across those three states, if Trump had got 70,000 votes less, Hillary Clinton would have won the Electoral College vote. In Pennsylvania, Trump won by about 0.7%, about 44,000 votes. In Wisconsin, he won by about 23,000 votes, 0.7%. And in Michigan, he won by 10,000 votes, 0.2% of a vote.
Well, I had not remembered that it was that close.
Very, very close. So, and there's a lot of reasons for that. First of all, he was outspent 3 to 4 times to 1. And then, of course, the media, as they are right now.
Well, the media made it clear he was going to lose before he even
started. There was a whole lot of stuff. The Republican establishment was against him. He had a very powerful Never Trump movement. I mean,
Think that's why they seized the Russian narrative? Because unless Trump cheated, that gave them a lot of egg on their face for being so sure that Hillary was going to win.
They hadn't even
called it for her based on the exit polls.
Right.
So then when the real numbers came in, it didn't come anywhere near.
And we could talk about polls. If we get time, we'll talk about some of the polling that took place there. So it was close. But this time around, we have a whole different situation. We still have very hostile media, but let's just take a look at some factors. Kind of in order, but not necessarily in order of importance. First of all, rank-and-file Republicans are now solidly behind Donald Trump. Solidly.
Well, you know, he's done more for conservatives than any of the ones who ran as a conservative for years. He's done more than Ronald Reagan did.
And obviously that's good for the vote, but that another effect of that is it frightens the Republican deep state establishment Republicans. They know they can't come out and attack him publicly without paying a price.
Yeah, so instead they just leak things to the press and try to subvert them behind the scenes.
A lot of them are still working behind the scenes. There's still a lot of people that are furious about his going after China on the trade issue, things like that. People that are making billions and billions of dollars by shipping U.S. jobs overseas, shipping technology overseas, and they don't care.
He really is a champion of the middle class.
He definitely is. So that's good. So we have He got most of the Republican vote, but it's going to be even stronger this time around. Number two, the Never Trumpers, and sure, we can pound our chests and declare victory over the Never Trumpers in 2016, but they hurt President Trump. He lost hundreds of thousands of votes.
Well, even the Bush family went on record as saying that they did not vote for him.
And so we will never know exactly how many votes lost. So it was hundreds of thousands. It could have been up into the millions.
Okay, we'll come back. This is Bob Siegel with Mike Friedenberg.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm here with National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg.
So, Bob, just picking up where we left off. So, talking about the Never Trumpers, they did hurt Donald Trump. We won't ever know exactly how much, but the and popular vote, which, by the way, all came from California, margin that everybody's talking about now, wouldn't have been that big if Never Trumpers or people that were very close to Never Trumpers had not damaged Donald Trump.
Well, and yeah, a lot of the Never Trumpers in California said, California, he can't win that anyway, so I can keep my conscience clear. Maybe if I was in a state where he had a chance. But it did hurt him to not win the popular vote. I don't care about the popular vote, but a lot of non-thinking people do.
Right.
So I hope we win the popular vote.
It would be nice. And of course, at the same time, I knew people in Texas who said, hey,
he's going to win
anyway, so I don't need to vote.
Yeah,
so but beyond that, there was the figurehead, Never Trumpers, the big names. And they, you know, when you have people that have well-established conservative credentials of decades coming out and savaging your candidate, that hurts.
Are you catching on, folks? Maybe you understand the wisdom of our forefathers and how we need to do elections by an electoral college. But what if you have a friend that's just stupid? You want to be able to tell them that your candidate won the popular vote. It's just practical.
Anyway, that would be better than that. So, but even past the popular vote, they came close. I mean, remember, it was three states, 77,000 votes that came that close to Hillary Clinton winning. And they helped. The Never Trumpers, they can talk all they want. They actually worked to help Hillary Clinton. That's the bottom line.
And you'll never hear them admit that, but that's exactly what they did.
So, okay. So, but they're now viewed, by this time around, they are being viewed as being fringy. Their credibility is nothing like it was in 2016. They're just being viewed as very fringy people. So they're going to still be able to hurt them a bit, but it's nothing like they could do in 2016. They've been shown to be 100% wrong on what they were saying. Okay, so that's good. That's a plus. Money. Despite President Trump always talking about how much money he has, he was horribly outspent by Hillary Clinton, not only in just the fact that she got all the free media from the press, but she spent, I think, something like 3 to 4 times more money than she. He was horribly outspent. That will not be the case this time. That's a plus.
Yeah.
ground organization, even though Reince Priebus, working with the RNC, did a very good job in, you know, helping to deploy a ground organization pot on behalf of Donald Trump, it wasn't what it could have been if he'd had more time to prepare.
He wasn't as bad against Trump as some, but he still seemed kind of cut out of the deep state a little bit. I've got mixed feelings about Reince Priebus.
I will say
he's not a bad guy, but
okay, maybe he's not your movement conservative guy, but in the election, he never said a bad word about President Trump when he was running
through for him,
and he did organize.
He didn't last in the White House cabinet very long, though.
No, he didn't. And then there's a number of reasons for that. Who knows? But I'm not going to. By the way, Reince Priebus is now in the Navy.
You're kidding.
Yeah, he was accepted in the Judge Adjutant's Corps as an attorney.
Has he ever been in the military before?
I don't believe so. I think he went in there to do some legal, you know, become a, to do some work on a reserve basis.
I've always appreciated JAG ever since I saw A Few Good Men with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, well, anyway, so I think he's in there as a JAG, which means he comes in there and does some work as an attorney for the Navy, but not full-time, but he's a reserve. So he'll spend a certain amount of time doing that. So just an interesting little side. Okay. Now, this may sound like a negative, but it is a positive. Right now, President Trump, and regardless whether you think the polls understate his support, which they do, he does have extremely high negatives right now. For a president that's done as well as he's done on the economy, on foreign policy, on trade, he does have high negatives. The good thing about that is, and he has been attacked for everything. I mean, he's had all the woman troubles.
You think it'll make him like an underdog for people?
No, it's not an underdog. In political terms, there's something called inoculation. If you can get an issue out there in advance before the elections run.
Oh, yeah. But what can they say about him that they haven't said 50 times
already? I mean, it's what possible attack could come out against Donald Trump?
He's a womanizer, treason. There's nothing else.
Significantly impacted. So the thing is, as far as I'm concerned,
unless they want to claim he had sex with a minor, it would have to be something of that level.
Between now and the election, with the amount of money he has to spend, and I believe that he can only go up. So the fact he's starting with these high negatives and the fact he's been attacked on every possible issue, it's a positive. They really can't, I cannot think of an issue they could come out with. I mean, I guess we could think of one if he was found to be some kind of guy with had murdered five people. Maybe that would, you know, but short of that. Short of him actually, like you said, going down the streets of New York and shooting people.
Six people maybe, but five people, he might still get
it. It reminds me of saying, I could drive down New York and shoot people and they'd still support me.
Yeah, he shouldn't say things like that.
He shouldn't say things like that.
But we're at the point where we expect him to talk without a filter. Okay, we'll be right back.
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book, adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
Well, picking up where we left off. By the way, just before we get back to that, you may have seen the poll that came out USA Today, Suffolk University.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Well, it showed Trump up by plus one.
Oh, really?
Favorability.
And
that's
USA
the first time.
Is not a conservative outfit.
Well, and yeah, I mean, I don't think it even necessarily comes down to conservatives. It comes down to other factors. But regardless, I believe that's the highest we've seen from that poll during his entire time in office.
In this age of the internet, though, I just wonder, aren't a lot of these polls still pretty dated? I know some of them are starting to do internet polling, but some of them still do the old-fashioned phone calls, door-to-door.
That is actually a topic for a whole show.
Okay.
I have it here, but probably not going to get to it.
Let's put a flag on that.
Okay, so anyway, I believe that in terms of the attacks he's taken, he has pretty much only one direction to go up, and I think we're going to see some of that. And I do believe that the Mueller results of the Mueller investigation are slowly seeping into the national consciousness. We were hoping to see a big bump, but we didn't see that bump. But I think people are beginning to see that really there was nothing there. The hardcore people are never going to acknowledge it, but there's a middle group that's not what I would call low information voters that are finally starting to get an idea that there really was nothing there.
Do you think Barr's going to come through?
Yes, I do.
These prosecutions?
So that's another good reason that's right there. So let's go with that. The Barr investigations are going to end up being a positive for President Trump. How much? I don't know. Then we go to the value voters. Trump had the support of the value voters in 2016. And more than any president in my lifetime, he has come through for the values voters, the religious liberty voters, the life voters. There is nobody that I can remember, because since 73, since abortion was legalized, no president has done more for the life issue than President Donald Trump. Not Ronald Reagan,
not the
Bushes.
And a lot of conservatives doubted that he was genuinely conservative. I don't even care if he's genuinely conservative. I just care about what he's getting done. And he's getting done the agenda of conservatives. Whatever goes on in his heart.
I'm confident he's genuinely pro-life.
I think, he is somebody who tends to think out loud, and when he makes a change, I think it's genuine. It's not like Hillary, who will make a change because of a poll in a focus group.
So the Hyde Amendment, we've never seen the Hyde Amendment enforced to the degree that it is enforced now. We're also looking at the recent Supreme, it was Ninth Circuit Court, I think, that surprisingly ruled in this favor, that he is now moving forward to cut off substantial funding from Planned Parenthood. Now, let's talk about the LGBTQ agenda. He wasn't somebody that ran against that group, but he's done things, for example, as saying, hey, it doesn't make sense to have transgender people serving in the military. It doesn't make our military stronger. So he's actually been, even in spite of not being somebody who's been up in front on that, he's actually done more on that
really
than most.
He really doesn't have a problem, so he says, with same-sex marriage. But there are times where things get so ridiculous that he will come out and admit it.
Well, the thing is, the religious liberty aspect of things actually does go right back to that whole agenda. And he's been very strong in religious liberty. So the value voters are got to be very happy. And if anything, he's shored up their support for this election cycle. Supreme Court appointments, not going to belabor that. He's made good appointments. We can sit there and that's be holding to the topic too, but he has made solid appointments, vetted appointments based upon the recommendations of really reputable conservative organizations. Second Amendment support. Yes, he may support the bump stock ban. Whoopee. I'm sorry. You know, you have to be reasonable. He's been strong on the Second Amendment, and anybody that has any sanity in their head knows he's going to be very good on that.
The thing is, Mike, even if he was only doing a quarter of these things, what is the alternative? If the Democrats take control of this country again, we are not going to be the United States of America anymore.
Immigration. That's a job that is still left undone. And to think about the opportunity we had when we had the Congress.
He wasn't expecting to get stabbed in the back. I think he really sincerely thinks if he could put people from all sides down and make a good deal, they'll do it, because that's his history. He didn't understand how Washington really worked.
He was overly optimistic, but Paul Ryan managed to destroy the immigration agenda in Congress, yeah, the House.
And Mitch McConnell doesn't have a whole lot of boasting to do either.
Now, we're in better position on the Senate side this time around, and hopefully if Trump wins, which I'm thinking he will, we can maybe pick up the House again and actually get something done. So immigration, he's got Mexico to actually start doing something. He has fought and done every single thing.
He did it by threatening them instead of that mealy-mouth approach people were taking before.
He has done everything he can to try to correct the situation against implacable opposition from his own party, from the Democrats, from the media. So if you really are concerned about that issue, you've got to know that Trump has been doing his best, doing the best he can. And it's something that you really want to reelect him to do, to continue to do. So trade. He has done a lot of positive steps on trade. He has completely redefined the entire narrative on trade. Marco Rubio used to be for the status quo on China. He is now actively saying, hey, we've got to do something with China. He has changed the narrative on trade. Very positive. And you've got to think that the states like the Pennsylvanias, the Michigans, these big, you know, manufacturing states, when it's all said and done, I believe that's going to be a plus for him in those what they used to call the Rust Belt states. Energy agenda. We're now energy independent. Very solid. Coal. I mean, it's a small section, but it's very positive. The tax cuts for businesses, including small businesses, are having a hugely positive effect, leading to a very strong economy. So if you're a small businessman, and there's millions of them, people that are small business people, you know that President Trump put through a set of tax breaks that makes a difference for you as a small businessman, not to mention the big corporations. So getting there. NATO. People, the average person in the country is glad that President Trump has pushed NATO to pay more of their share.
Which was what thinking person could have been against
right.
that? What was so unfair about that? Why do we have to carry everybody else's weight around the world?
And then we go back to the benefit of low expectations. Foreign policy. Trump went into office with very low expectations on what he could accomplish in foreign policy. I think he's done a very good job. But regardless of how much credit you're willing to give him, we're still here. We're not in a major war. We're not at, you know, we haven't had a nuclear weapon. I mean,
what is your take on his decision to pull back that strike against Iran?
What do you think's going on? I think that basically he saw that it was an unmanned craft and that he would be, I think they looked and said it's unmanned. If it was, let's put it this way. If that had been a manned aircraft, there would have been a strike. That's all I'll say on that. We don't have time to go into detail. There's a lot more to that, but I would just say that if it had been a manned, we would have seen those strikes.
Yeah.
If somebody had been killed on our sides, nobody was. It was expensive.
Yeah.
About $200 million plus. So,
right.
You know, nothing trivial, but still, there was not a person on board.
Okay. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m.
Listen to the tide,
770 AM, 96.1 FM. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
So, Bob, anyway, that I think that he is better positioned. Obviously, the counter to everything there is the savaging he has continued to take in the media. And that's very hard to measure. It has definitely depressed his approval because there's a lot of people, you know, let's just, for example, for primetime news, only about 8% of the people in the country get primetime news.
Not as many watch Fox or listen to talk radio. Now, the internet, you have more of a balance.
A lot of people, so it's not that bad, but it definitely has hurt him. But there is these other countervailing things, and he's going to have money to bypass.
And I hate to say it, I used to hate his tweeting, but I think as a maneuver around the mainstream media, no matter what he tweets, be it a good one or a bad one, he drives the news that day. Because no matter what he tweets, that's what they're going to talk about now in the news. So there is a method to his madness, I believe.
So there's many, many positive factors for his reelection effort. So I think we'll just leave it at that. But one of the other areas I wanted to talk about was this thing. It's called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. You probably don't hear it, but basically
I am concerned about that. Right. Aren't there at least 10 states by now?
Yeah, there's 12 states or something like that. I have it down here and a little further
it
down.
It concerns me very much.
So this is a move that states or state legislatures are signing on to pledge that whoever gets the national popular vote, their state's delegates will be pledged to them. So even if a state, let's say like...
Let's take Pennsylvania, like last time, that's normally a Democratic state. Supposing he squeezed it out and won, I don't know if Pennsylvania is one of the 12, but if they were, they would give their electoral votes to whoever's in Hillary's position.
Exactly. So here's a couple of things to take in consideration. First of all, it's unconstitutional. I know that you're worried about the judges calling it constitutional, but it's so clearly unconstitutional.
Well, maybe you can educate me here, because the way I understand it, the way the Constitution was originally set up, the Electoral College members could vote for anybody they wanted. They don't even have to go by who won the popular vote in their state. So couldn't the Electoral College members just say, well, since the Constitution says we can vote for whoever we want, we choose to vote for whoever the...
Here's the thing.
I'm wondering if it would squeak out constitutionality.
It won't, because the point is, this is an interstate compact. That term is very important. Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution, that's the first part of the Constitution, states no state shall, without the consent of Congress, enter into any agreement or compact with another state without approval of Congress. That means both houses signed off to the president.
Okay, now that is very interesting. I had not thought about that. Of course, we are going to have to trust the judge to actually read what the Constitution says and not read between the lines.
Right there, that appears to be, you know, do not pass go, do not collect $200.
Not to Ruth Ginsburg and Sonia Mayer, though.
But I really believe that would be, that's so clear cut. And then beyond that,
you think we'll settle that before the election, though? I'd hate to have the election and then have this get tied up in litigation.
Speaking of that, multiple states, multiple groups have already filed lawsuits against it in multiple states.
Good.
Okay,
yeah,
so
let's get this settled before. And plus, it's disingenuous. Supposing it was reversed this time. Trump won the electoral or won the popular, and his opponent won the electoral. You mean to tell me that California is going to then go give their votes to Trump? They would have an emergency meeting of their legislator, and they would overturn that in a heartbeat.
Of course. So then the second part is that this is a little bit more sophisticated analysis. But if you look at the 14th, the 19th, and the 26th, and how they work together, this basically would also be screened out constitutionally on the basis that it severs the voters from the electors and the right to vote. So it disenfranchises voters. So that's the other aspect. So I don't believe it holds the Constitution. Now, let's go into the other aspect of it, though, is what about the idea of them getting a constitutional initiative to change it? Well, constitutional initiative, just to remind people, there's been 27 amendments,
I think. They would have to have a meeting to overthrow change the entire Constitution to do that.
They'd have basically, it's happened 27 times we've had amendments. The way those 27 times went is the House and the Senate voted with a 2/3 majority to send it to the states. Then the states, three quarters of the states, three quarters, Bob, had to vote for it.
Yeah, for amendments. I was thinking of an actual constitutional convention. Then they'd
never
have to
had
put
one.
The entire...
Never had one.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's and it still would require 3/4 of the states.
Right.
So first of all, you have to have the House and the Senate and the president sign off on it to send it to the states, and then 3/4 of the states have to vote for it. So that's not happening anytime soon. So I believe that this is a very big PR move to just be talking, to be drumming up support for the popular vote, so that if they don't win, they can still have create more anger and angst about their vote being violated. Okay, now, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why the Electoral College makes sense, but the bottom line is two main ones. States' rights it's a big states' rights issue. And number two is that it doesn't allow the big states to bully and overwhelm the smaller states. Now, the big states already have a lot of power because they get all the congressional representatives are based upon the population. So California wields a tremendous power through its congressional reps.
California, New York.
And Texas, of course. And they have a mix. So they are still have that. That's a pretty close representation of the popular vote. The Congress people having to be elected every 2 years. Then you got the Senate, which puts the brake on things, movements that really are very transient but don't have any staying power. The Senate will say no to that. I mean, we have all these checks and balances, and the founders were brilliant. The Electoral College is another check and balance. So there's a lot of really good reasons for it. And what you said is true, Bob, is if we had a couple of elections where the Republicans got the popular vote but lost the electoral vote,
they would overturn that so fast.
You'd be talking about the Democrats would be talking about the virtues of the Electoral College.
Well, there was even some speculation that it might happen that way last time, that Trump might win the popular. We were already getting sanctimonious lectures. Remember, the college is a time-honored tradition. So it's just whatever's convenient for them.
So 15 states have already passed it, just so you know.
Is Pennsylvania, are some of the ones that were close Democratic states on that list?
I don't think that was one of them.
I know California is one of them.
Pennsylvania did not pass it.
Nevada, I think, is another one.
Nevada is either looking at doing it or
they're headed that way, yeah.
And seven states look at, but it's not going to happen. I believe it will be.
But isn't it interesting how they sit around and figure out ways to cheat?
Yes.
Subvert our but remember Hillary during that debate when she asked if Trump would accept the election results? He says it depends on whether it was rigged. She's like, I am just shocked. I am just stunned. Democracy weighs in the balance. Did she accept the election results? Did anybody in her party accept the election results? What a bunch of two-faced hypocrites.
And once again, even though you will lose the battle when you try to talk about the fact it's not really a popular vote, it's 50 state popular votes cumulatively put together, and you campaign completely differently, but people are still going to look at
it. If we were really doing a popular vote, then everybody in California and Texas would vote. They wouldn't say, well, it's already decided in my state. Okay, we'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. I've been on the radio for many years, but let me tell you about a voice I've learned to appreciate far more than any radio announcers, Fred Falduti of Realty Executives All Area. Now, why do I care so much about Fred's voice? Because not long ago, Fred's voice spoke the following words to me.
Bob, I have some good news for you. They accepted your offer.
That's right. Fred Falduti just sold my house. With words like those, who needs radio? Folks, I'm telling you, choosing the right realtor is no small task. Fred took a personal interest in my situation, treating me less like a customer and more like a member of the family. And Fred's been doing this since 1994. Realty Executives All Area has sold thousands of homes locally.
Our footprints are throughout San Diego County, and we are proud of our accomplishments of assisting home sellers and buyers like you. Over the years, we've managed hundreds of real estate transactions and have encountered just about every kind of challenging situation possible.
That's it, folks. That's the voice that will sell your home. Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com. We radio hosts love to talk, but let's face it, when have we ever sold your home? Fred Falduti will.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
Listening to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined today with National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg for one more segment.
So, in a future show, I would like to do a whole show on polling, because I realize it would take a whole show to go through.
Well, you were one of the few people who called the election for Trump last time.
But I was wrong about the 2018 midterms.
But you were partly right. You called it for the Senate.
Yes,
I know. You did think he was going to keep the House.
Yes. So.
I don't remember you being as confident about
that. Well, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were.
I felt obligated to call him. So yeah.
My heart said yes. I thought you were given more of a measured prediction that time.
But regardless, I'm not talking about the end result of the polling, but the methodology.
The polls along the way.
The methodology. Yeah. The methodology, because there's a lot of
assumptions.
And assumptions, and also confusions about how polls work. For example, a lot of people will scream on the conservative side about oversampling. That actually has very little to do with the problems with the polls. But so we're going to discuss that in depth. But what I really want to just kind of finish up with here is talk about, and for a number of weeks, I've been talking about Biden not making it, Joe Biden not making it. And I'm even more convinced. Joe Biden, I do not believe, is going to be the nominee.
He never did good in elections. He only has been riding Obama's coattails. He really doesn't have anything to show from the war chest except Obama.
And he is not the left-wing movement establishment has decided he's not the one they want.
They consider him damaged goods because of that comment he made about working with...
long before that, because see, the thing is, if they like you and they believe in you and they want you, they'll be very forgiving. But if they don't like you, they won't forgive you.
And I should say, I don't believe the man is a racist. I believe he's a blithering idiot. I believe he's dumb as a post. I don't believe he's a racist.
Listen, there's a lot
of... He has made some remarks that have sounded pretty stupid, though, like the remark about the 7-Elevens.
He has made a lot of dumb comments.
Obama is an African-American, is kind of clean cut. That's a storybook. He said stupid things, but, you know, people say stupid things. He has a lot of problems. I don't believe he's really racist, but I believe that now that he stepped his foot in it, they will play that card and they will take him out.
He is not a person that's a person of strong moral convictions and fiber.
He flipped and flopped and flipped and flopped.
He's flipped and flopped on every major issue.
He was like a gymnast in the Olympics.
He was pro-life, Bob, opposing Roe v. Wade before... When it was convenient to be that way.
Isn't that
when
amazing that something that moral, that ethical, would be determined by polls and focus groups?
So it was when it was convenient for him to be pro-life and opposing Roe v. Wade, he did it. When it became expedient for him to change his position, he did. He's done that through his entire career.
Plus, when he's in those debates, he lies like Pinocchio. I wish his nose could grow like Pinocchio. It would break the cameras.
So, and he's got the issues with Ukraine and China,
with
corruption.
With his son?
With his son, Hunter, So I think when you add it all together, and the fact that he just right now, in any extended period of time giving a talk or talking to people, he's just not the sharpest guy.
He's not the
anymore.
Sharpest tool. Also, ABC News is starting to talk to him about his son's dealings right. overseas. I think that was only because he stepped in it with that comment about working with the segregationists. It gave them a green light.
So I'm going to make a, and it's not a strong, confident prediction, but right now, it may surprise some people. I believe that Warren right now is the person best positioned to step in
as
the leader.
Yeah, I thought the Pocahontas thing had taken her out, but she does seem to be rising out of the ashes like a phoenix, doesn't she?
And Bob, let's just imagine a scene where she gets on national TV and says, I grew up believing I had a Native American heritage. My parents told me about it, and I was proud of that. And I was as shocked as anybody else when I found out the results. So it was only because I had so much respect for Native Americans that I really believed it so strongly. I was wrong, and I'm sorry for that. If she does that, that issue's over
with. Except that the Native Americans themselves are kind of denouncing her over
there. But that doesn't matter. They're not. I'm just saying, if she does that for the average voter, the average American is going to give her a pass on it.
What should concern people is that she's a socialist. Now, she doesn't proudly wear the label like Bernie Sanders, but there's nothing about her policies that aren't staunch socialism.
Well, and I agree. But my main point is thinking that the Pocahontas thing took her out. That's not going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't believe it will.
Either her or Kamala Harris or Buttigieg. I think it'll be one of those three myself.
And she's differentiated herself by coming out. She's been putting out a lot of position papers, more than anybody else. And she did come out with a position paper calling economic patriotism. And a lot of the principles in it were very similar to what Donald Trump ran on. So a populist economic principles, not all of them that Trump has, and not balanced by...
He might have to find a new nickname for her. Pocahontas may not play anymore.
Right. My point being is that I see that populist economic agenda potentially playing well in some blue-collar states, you know, things like that, if people don't pay that close attention. It could sound good superficially. So I do believe that she's a threat. I don't think it's going to be Biden there. So I do... You know, and you look at all of the stuff that's starting to stack up against Biden. Now, who else behind Warren? You know, maybe Kamala Harris is still getting 6, 7, 8 points.
She presents herself well. She's a nightmare, but she does present herself well.
And she's
in
a
lot of people won't look beyond
that. She's made major gaffes already where she's flip-flopped in the matter of days at the beginning of her campaign. She actually did a relaunch of her campaign because she'd gotten off to such a poor start, but she may be able to recover from it. I always thought she was a threat because she is a woman.
And she's African-American.
She's an attractive woman who can generally present herself well. So she clicks off the identity politics stuff pretty good. So maybe she's there. I just don't, and I could be wrong, but I just don't think we're quite ready for Buttigieg or whatever his name is.
Maybe.
We'll
see. I do think the fact that he's gay makes him immune to attacks about him being a white male because he's not a white heterosexual male.
And Bob, did you know that along with John Kerry, that Buttigieg did serve in the military?
Right. And yeah, in case you... We really want to keep reminding everybody, John Kerry served in Vietnam. And you ought to overlook every idiotic thing he's ever did since then because he did serve.
Including him going to Iran to tell them to ignore whatever President Trump does.
Yeah, it's something that violates the Logan Law, as I understand. Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.